Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We got a call about this. At least I took the call. It didn't make its way on air. We got a call about Shamar Stewart practicing with Texas A&M. Shamar Stewart is a first-round pick by the Cincinnati Bengals. While he is not practicing with A&M, at least not officially, because they're not in a fall practice yet. I mean, he could be practicing with just the players. I think right now you cannot have an actual coach on the field with players right now, at least legally by NCAA rules. You can have like your strength and conditioning coaches out there with them right now, but he's there working out with A&M. So the call was about, could he go back and play for them? And why he's not with the Bengals right now is because there's some language in the contract they want him to sign that they've never asked another first-round pick to sign. And he's saying, no, I'm not doing that. So much like Ace Bailey, who if he decided to go play in Europe when it appeared that he wasn't happy being drafted by the Jazz, if he got paid by another league, he would still be property, or at least his rights would still belong to the Jazz. That's the same way for Shamar Stewart, at least currently. Even if he did play college football in 2025 for the Aggies or anyone else, the Bengals would still hold his rights, so he would still be in a situation where he would be awarded to a team who he had issues with regarding a contract. Now, NIL money's a big deal, so first he'd have to be able to play college football, and right now the rule is you can't. So he would have to challenge the NCAA. They generally have lost these challenges recently. They actually don't even like putting up a fight when it comes to player eligibility things for the most part. So he could try it, but he would have to try pretty quickly if he wanted to be available to not only practice with the Aggies or anyone else, but to actually play in college football games. So he's in College Station working out. But as far as the road to putting on that Aggie uniform one more time, he's got work to do there. The Bengals, they need pass rushers. Henderson isn't happy, and they're playing games with their first-round pick when they don't really need to. Him not being signed is unique for the first round. Of course, all the second-round picks beyond two still aren't signed. You can thank or blame, depending on which side of this you fall on. That's a Casario joint. He set a precedent that no one else wants to follow, and now you've got the majority of second-round picks as we get close to training camp not signing. Jahdae Barron signed yesterday for the Broncos. I didn't know he was still without a contract, the former Texas DB. So he was another first-rounder without a deal, but he'll be ready for Broncos camp. We'll just see how it goes for the second-rounders. Just takes the first side the cave, whether it be an agent for a first rounder in the top of the second round, or one of the teams in top second to get tired of this impasse, and then all that stuff will trickle down. But until that point, if you've got a second round pick, you're depending on a start, and at least if you're a second round pick, they're dependent on to play, unless I guess you're onto Ursary. It's a little tough not having those guys ready to go as training camp begins. So that those are the contract things still to be figured out in the NFL, along with Terry McLaurin. He spoke to the media yesterday, the Commanders receiver, and he expected more progress on a deal. He wants that $30 million per year type stuff for receivers. He wants one of those contracts. And right now, he and the Commanders aren't anywhere close. So he spoke, hasn't really considered asking for a trade. He talked about his family. They bought their first home there. He and his wife, they want to stay there. But right now, he and the Commanders aren't near a deal. And that leads me to this. So the Jets just gave Garrett Wilson big money. And it led to Texans media, Texan fans talking about how they got Nico Collins on what would be considered a discount. And certainly when it came to Derek Stingley, because Stingley and Sauce are always going to be compared, particularly how it started when Sauce felt like the clear runaway in that comp. And now you see how Derek Stingley has maybe surpassed him, because Stingley's ball skills, his ability to get takeaways, has far exceeded Sauce's. I would say this when we're making comparisons about contracts, I don't want to make comparisons to the Jets. If Nick Cassero does something smarter than the Jets, good. He should. The Jets are not a team I want to hold as a standard bearer for, oh, my GM's better than that team. What about the Jets tells you that you should want to be comp to them? Like, if you want to go Ravens, Chiefs, and say Nick Casario's up in that tier when it comes to signing contracts, I'll say yes. I'm happy if Nick Casario's doing that. But if it's the Jets, a perennial loser, no. It's not a win for Nick Casario. It's the Jets. And why would I expect the Jets to do anything proper? Now they're trying to excavate themselves from the Aaron Rodgers debacle. And hopefully Aaron Glenn, former Texan, can turn that around if you're a Jets fan. I'm not a Jets fan, so I hope they lose every game they play, honestly. But for Aaron Glenn's sake, if you have some warm feelings for him, maybe after leaving Detroit as a DC, he's got something to flip the Jets around. But comping Casario to what's going on in New York, stop it. That's not the realm. Look to Baltimore. Look to, as I said, the Chiefs. Look to the Rams. Look to the Eagles. In fact, you want a Northeast comp? Look to Howie Roseman. See how he does contracts. So Nick Casario's in line with how Howie Roseman does things. Then you got something. Howie Roseman can draft old linemen. I know that much. Let's get to Howie Roseman's level on that when it comes to building a roster. Casario can do the defensive line thing like Howie Roseman can do. Let's match him and go put together an offensive line. Maybe Arante Arisery is the start of that. We just probably won't see him, if at all. Certainly not very much this season. And if he's going to be behind everyone else because he's not signed in training camp, that ain't going to help either. Okay, before we did the giveaway, before we talked to Eric and Keith, at least before we talked to Keith, I mentioned this ain't a way to treat your greats. AJ, where do you stand on, have we talked about the Harry Potter franchise? Where do you stand on the Harry Potter franchise? Books, movies, where do you stand?
I used to like watch some of them with my dad when I was younger, but I wasn't like really too in depth to them. I tried reading like a book in fifth grade. Oh my gosh. I could not do it. I was 10. I couldn't do it. It was too much.
Understood. I've never read the books. I'm never going to. I'll watch the movie. I've watched the movies. They've got a new series coming up here next year, I think, on HBO Max.
I did see that, like the behind the scenes
book. Yeah, I guess I may watch that. What am I saying? Of course I'll watch it. I'm a nerd. Of course I'll watch it. At least I'll give it a try. We'll see how it goes. Shout out to the new Severus Snape. Only because that guy signed up for that job, if you don't know, they cast a British actor who's black in the Severus Snape role. And you already saw the people jump out of a building because they did it. So we'll see how people respond to him when he's on when they actually see him on television as opposed to the initial casting. But hey. John Boyega would tell you, when it comes to IP and hate because you look a certain way, it can be rough going. So we'll see how the new Severus Snape does in that role. But from the old movies, the ones that made J.K. Rowling billions of dollars, at least certainly sold a lot of books and made a lot of money at the box office. Hermione Granger, Emma Watson, I think, who's kind of pseudo-retired from acting, she lost her license. And I don't know that this happens over here. Like, we have TMZ, they break stuff, but I'm not sure if a who would be a comp, an American comp here, because of course she was not just an UK star, she's an American star. I'm trying to find an American comp of like someone who was great or at least famous as a kid actor, and now is like in their 30s, and really no one has a bad word to say about them. I'm trying to think of who would be the proper comp. Maybe she's older now, but maybe Natalie Portman for us. I mean,
yeah,
she's older. She's probably maybe a decade, less than a decade older than Emma Watson. But Natalie Portman's one of those people who was a kid actress, became an adult actor, and no one says a bad thing about her. But do you think if it was simply a case of this example, if it happened to her, we'd have this news story about it? Take a listen. This is I think Sky News breaking down what's happening to Emma Watson.
It's breaking news for you. The Harry Potter actress Emma Watson has been banned from driving for 6 months after being caught speeding. Watson, who of course played Hermione Granger in the film franchise, drove 38 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone in Oxford.
Yeah,
on July the 31st last year, the 35-year-old was made to pay a total of £1,044 at High Wycombe Magistrates Court on Wednesday. Emma Watson had already got 9 points on her licence before the speeding incident occurred, according to the court readout. She did not attend the five-minute hearing.
Speeding incident is strong. 38 and a 30 is a speeding incident. Don't we get a buffer of 10? Like, you get 10 miles an hour.
I'll be put over all the time.
Yeah. Well, you get for different reasons going forward. Just how it's two Americas, AJ. You know about it.
It's true.
Yeah. But 38 and a 30 for a UK legend? Nah, we can't treat our legends that way. And he went into how many points she has and why she. That's a lot. Like, if Natalie Portman, for whatever reason, got pulled over in L.A., first of all, she's going 38 and a 30. If they see who it is and recognize her, they're letting her go. I'm just saying. I'm just predicting that. But even if the officer's having a bad day and was like, I don't care who you are, I'm pulling you over and you're catching a ticket. I'm trying to. So that's a national news service. Like, would CNN do a story about Natalie Portman going 38 and a 30 and losing her license? I don't think it rises to the level of news. Sky News, what are we doing? She didn't even attend. He knew her point situation. It's just a different way of doing news. I would just say, hey, leave Hermione Granger alone. That's all. Leave her alone. That story doesn't need to be out there. I catch him MSNBC talking about Natalie Portman that way. I would never. They would never do that story. It had to be something much more serious than, she was going 32 and a 25. And that's why she lost her license. All right. Well, Emma Watson probably doesn't need to drive anywhere. Now she can't, at least not legally. How does that work? Like, you can't drive in the UK like that, but she could have an American license. So she lives over here. I guess she'll just be fine. But if she wants to go back to her home country, not so much. So there it is. A disrespect to one of the child star legends who has, for the most part, stayed out of trouble. In fact, period. I don't think I've ever heard a negative story about Emma Watson before until Sky News got a hold of her. 38 and a 30. That ain't speeding, by the way. What are we doing? You know what happens on a, you know what happens on a, on 45 when I got out of the house late, when I get have to get to work on time? I ain't going to tell you because I ain't going to snitch on myself, but let's just say 38 and a 30 or 8 miles above the speed limit. Trust me. Someone's pulling me over every day. If that's what we're doing, I guess the benefits of living in Houston and not whatever part of the UK she was in. All right, we'll go to break with that. Damn, tough beat. How's she going to live? How's she going to get to work? She can't even drive anymore. All right, we'll go to break. Me and AJ till noon. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
part of last segment, I mentioned I didn't want Nick Caserio to be in conversations with the Jets general manager when we talk about who's better than who. Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner both got deals the last couple of days from their new general manager, Darren, I'm going to go with Mogey, M-O-U-G-E-Y. He isn't a Douglas, so maybe things will be better for the Jets, but if we're doing comps, let's have Caserio be better than Howie Roseman if I want him to be better than a couple GMs in football. And I mention Howie Roseman again because one of Howie Roseman's recent acquisitions, he elected to trade to the Texans. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is now a Texan. He went on the pivot with Ryan Clark, and he explains in some ways why he's no longer in Philadelphia.
Why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah, simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say if you're a dog and then it's time to go out there. Hey, we need you. Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call because guys come off the sideline. If you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you telling the period is live, you telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football? Or you want me to be a leader and outspoken, but then you want me to sit back and just, I'm cool with taking the back seat, but I'm not cool with little things like, okay, I'm misled. I'm confused.
That's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Part of his sit down with the pivot, I think that involves Ryan Clark. Fred Taylor was there. I think Channing Crowder, former NFL player, sitting down to talk with him. He has not been a guy who spent a lot of time in places. That's why he was with Philly twice in the span of, what, three seasons? And now he's a Texan. I wouldn't expect Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to be here beyond this year. Seems like that's the amount of time someone is willing to deal, or an organization at least is willing to deal. We'll see. Maybe D'Amico Ryans has a magic formula, and he's a perfect fit here, and he could be a guy who's here for more than a year. But you hear even months later, he's not exactly sure why, I guess, Philly asked him to do certain things. He heard him say he's confused. This is, I wouldn't say it's like an all-in move, but this is the Texans taking a, it's not even a gamble because they can get off of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson after a year. It's a guy who they certainly thought they're better off having than Kenyon Green, and let's try it. We're pretty solid in our secondary. Let's add another piece, and maybe him along with a pretty solid defensive front along with the rest of that secondary is enough to elevate us to real contender status. They have guys like him on the roster already, particularly on the defensive end. If we're talking about more of the I'll show you leader than the quiet type when it comes to Azeez Ashayer, who they added last season, well, at least last offseason. Now Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's another one of those guys who volatile, but can be disruptive and impactful, and that's what they're hoping for him. But I don't think it's going past a year. I think he could sit down with the pivot after this offseason, after this season, and go, I was confused about what they wanted from me. I wouldn't be surprised if the pivot wants to have an anthology series or a yearly review of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's time in the previous year. They could bring him on in the 2026 offseason, and he can explain why he's no longer Houston Texan. Chauncey, why are you a Baltimore Raven and not a Houston Texan? Well, Ryan, and then he'll go on to talk about the Texans confuse him again. There's that saying, and I don't want to tribute the particular terminology to him, when they go, if you walk around all the time and keep running into a-holes, maybe you're the a-hole. If your whole life is filled with you thinking you everybody you deal with is an a-hole, maybe you turn out to be, maybe you're the a-hole. And when we're talking about the amount of time an organization's willing to deal, I don't even want to say deal like he's not an adult, who they're willing to have a cooperative agreement with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, guys, the organizations don't want to do it for more than a year. So if that is the case, maybe we got to look within and go, what's up? But he does impact winning. And he helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl, which may even speak to more of why he is someone that's difficult to have in your organization for more than a year. Because they reached the top of the mountain coming off a year where they were very disappointed in their final stretch of the season. They bring him in. They bring him back. They won a Super Bowl. Everything feels like that should be perfect. He came in. He was impactful on our defense. We won a Super Bowl. Let's have him back. And they said, nope, we've had enough. I'm going to bet that the Texans make a similar decision if I just go by his track record. Just ball out is all we're looking for.
You can't program a dog.
No, you can't. He's a dog. And all the time he's telling me you can't program him. And so you let the dog be who he is. You let Chauncey Gardner-Johnson be who he is. And you hope your organization is strong enough for that not to be a problem for a year. And then you say, thanks, Chauncey. We're moving on. Because why, AJ?
You can't program a dog.
There it is. You cannot program a dog. It's going to be interesting, though, him and the rest of that secondary. They're going to be fun to watch. I think that's what you can say about the Texans' defense. They're going to be fun attacking. He fits what they want to do. He's going to be just another one of those dudes who's going to talk, who's going to let you know he's there. And other than Derek Stingley, I think he fits the profile of that secondary. Bullock's like that. Lassiter's like that. Petrie, we got to see him back on the field, but I think he maybe fits that mold too. The rest of them, Will Anderson's a leader of that team, but I don't know if his personality is exactly like that secondary. But I love it. I love that he's here. I love that it's probably just for 1 year. So we'll see what Chauncey Gardner-Johnson provides in what likely is his 1 year with the Texans. Okay, I'm being bombarded by Mr. Irrigation and things going around just around the world of sports. If you missed it earlier, we had Kate McLean from Tony's here. She's a chef. AJ, you were probably,
I was listening.
You were listening. So you heard when she asked if I was Hawaiian because of my last name.
I didn't hear that part. There's like one, like a couple minutes where it like went out kind of.
Okay.
But I did not hear that though.
So Art reminded me of it. She heard the name Olalie, and she heard the rhythmic tone of that and asked me if I was Hawaiian. Now, look, I've been to Hawaii once, enjoyed my time there. And from being in Hawaii, I will tell you, unless you're an athlete at the University of Hawaii, not a lot of people look like me in Hawaii.
Wow.
I was in Honolulu, where their main campus was. This isn't to take a shot at Hawaii, just how the demographics work out. From what I could tell, unless you had University of Hawaii paraphernalia, a jersey, they wouldn't be walking around jerseys, but sweatsuit, shirt,
merchandise,
whatever. Not a lot of people look like me, but I appreciate the guess she made. It is, in fact, a Nigerian last name. Art reminded me of that. I was like, yeah, that did happen. I was too busy eating a funnel cake mini funnel cake to care that much. But shout out to Kate McClain. She does a great job over at Tony's. And they're doing ballpark fair where they're going to provide you with, as Art said, mini glizzies. They're going to do, you can call them hot dog sliders, whatever you want to call them. They're mini versions of hot dogs. You're going to do funnel cakes. You're going to do chili cheese fries. And they're going to have Astro games up. They're going to do that periodically throughout the summer and into the rest of the season. So if you want to hang out on those days, Tony's will be there for you to give you Astros baseball and less expensive ballpark fare than what you would get if you actually went out to Daikin. And considering what Tony's does, you're probably getting better quality. Although the Astros have stepped up their food, a lot of major league baseball parks have done that as well. Astros are among them, but I think Tony's may have them beat. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to get in, the number is 713-780-3776. I'll tell you a little bit about where we're going to be the next couple of days because John and Lance are out and about the next couple of days. So are the other shows. So we'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
AJ, when I ask you who's most deserving of the credit for what the Patriots accomplished, who would you say?
I'd probably say Tom Brady because, I mean, the very next season he left, I mean, he won the Super Bowl with the Bucs. So, yeah. I mean, obviously they both play hand-in-hand, but I'll give Brady the edge.
By both, do you mean Robert Kraft as the other one?
Because, oh, I was saying Belichick.
Okay,
but yeah.
Because Robert Kraft wants his credit. It's been a thing for him, and it's one of the reasons he's doing like a podcast tour. At least he did one podcast. He did the Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman podcast because I'm sure that's great. It's called the Dudes Being Dudes podcast. Yeah,
sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. And on that podcast, he said, when they asked him about all the decisions he's made, the best decisions he's made since he's been the Patriots owner, he said the one that got questioned the most was the one in 99 when he decided to hire Bill Belichick. He said, I gave up a number one draft pick for a coach that had only won a little over 40% of his games to get him out. I don't know if there are any Jets fans here. I think they're at a Fanatics event. I think getting Bill Belichick to come to the Patriots in 99 was a big risk, and I got hammered in the Boston area, but he was with us for 24 years. Bill Belichick caught word of that. It was like, excuse me. And he did this in a statement to ESPN, so he wanted it to be heard and read. As I told Robert multiple times, that's Kraft, through the years, I took a big risk by taking the New England Patriots coaching job. I already had the opportunity to be the head coach of the Jets, but the ownership situation wasn't stable. I have been warned by multiple previous Patriots coaches as well as other members of other NFL organizations and the media that the New England job was going to come with many internal obstacles. I made it clear that we would have to change the way the team was managed to regain the previously attained success. There's been a bit, like when I asked you the question, you immediately thought Brady and Belichick. There's been that conversation, quarterback or coach. The one that doesn't get a lot of attention is the one involving coach versus owner. It's not to the level of Jerry and Jimmy, but Robert Kraft feels like he's kind of overlooked in that because you do have the two big names in Brady and Belichick and what they did. He goes, I'm the owner. What about mine? And in fact, I think he missed out recently on another potential. What did he miss out on that he's been fighting for? I forgot what it was. Oh, he didn't get in the Hall of Fame. Robert Kraft wants to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's not, and he didn't get in. And he would think, I am the owner of a team who won what? Was it seven?
Six.
Six? Oh, Brady won the seventh with Tampa. Who's won six Super Bowls since I took over. And wasn't he? And he got there in 99, so he wasn't there. Was he? No, he made the decision in 99. Was he there for the what's his name? Parcells Bledsoe Super Bowl when they lost to the Packers? So he might have, if he's the owner for that, then he's saying, hey, we didn't win that one, but I've been to a decade's worth of Super Bowls. Why aren't they in the Hall of Fame? So he's doing that thing where he's trying to let people know I should certainly be someone considered as a real factor in why this organization has been as successful as it has been. And Bill Belichick just, hey, don't come in my yard. Let's not pretend like you guys were in a mess when I got there. So it has more to do with me than with you. So Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, while they may not be enemies, I don't think they're very close. And so we'll see. I am surprised that he's not in the Hall of Fame right now. Whether you want to say he's just the owner who's spending cash, he did make the hire of Bill Belichick, and well, we saw how that played out. So he's still trying to find his way in. We'll see if Robert Kraft actually makes it. But I do love people taking their piece of the credit pie, and how serious they are about it. It's usually something we see when it comes to the actual athletes. One of the more famous ones we know is Shaq and Kobe. And that led to a breakup of that Lakers team. And, of course, Shaq went on to win one more, and Kobe went on to win two with the Lakers. But I don't remember a lot beyond Jerry and Jimmy. And now we got Kraft versus Belichick. So all I need is for Robert Kraft to have no more success. You've had enough. You hired a great coach. You wound up lucking into the most successful quarterback of all time. And see, AJ, I couch it like that because I ain't calling him the GOAT. I'm not doing it.
Is that because you like the Dolphins? Or?
It's because even as great as Brady is, I see the guy in Kansas City coming up pretty quickly on him. And I'm not sure he's going to hold that title for long. And yes, it's because I hate the Patriots. Yeah. That as well.
I was just making sure.
Yes, that as well. That plays a big part of it as well. But I just think the guy in Kansas City, he ain't there yet, because just the volume of Brady Super Bowl wins keeps him ahead for now. But as far as play on the field, I know who I enjoy watching more. And it ain't 12. Appreciate you, 12. In some ways, mostly the moments of watching you lose. Like, watching him lose in the Super Bowl is pretty fun. Because for the most part, they've always been a surprise. For whatever reason, the NFC East has given him trouble. The two Giants ones and the one Eagles one. Those, I think the Patriots were favorite. Certainly, they were the favorite when they were on their way to an undefeated season. And I think they're the favorites in the second one against the Giants. I think the Eagles, too, just because you have Brady in the Super Bowl. If only the Falcons could have got him.
They should have.
Yeah, of course. If only. Oh, you give me an AFC South team or NFC South team beating you, and I needed that blowout to happen. Like, I didn't need it to be close, because you give the Patriots credit. They don't get blown out in Super Bowls, even when they do lose. I needed that one. 28-3, I needed that one to get to, like, old school NFC-AFC back in the 80s and 90s when the AFC was getting routed, Patriots among them, against that Bears team. Give me, like, 45-10 Falcons. That's what I was hoping for. Instead, I got the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. So even then, he ruined my Sunday night. He's ruined a lot of my Sundays. That one, I thought I had him, thanks to Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Instead, Kyle Shanahan pulling another Kyle. Well, maybe the first Kyle Shanahan. He's done a number of those since, and I just didn't know that he would do it on that night. Famously, a Super Bowl in Houston where Lance left early. He doesn't get shamed enough for that. I don't blame him. You want to get out of traffic, but when it turns into the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history and you weren't there for it, you deserve some shame. So I mentioned that Patriot team, the one that lost the Giants. Right now, there is a list of the best teams to ever do it in the NFL. It's on Bill Barnwell has that on NFL on the NFL page on ESPN. And that Patriots team who didn't actually win is his best team of all time. I kind of thought championships stamped you. Like, no one thinks the Warriors are the best team ever because they lost. So if you lose the Super Bowl, can you be the best team of all time? I'm sure you look at analytics and numbers and you'll say that Patriot team was very dominant. They were. Going back, it's now been, 18 years or so now? But, yes, that was a dominant team. But if you don't win at all,
doesn't matter.
You want to put them on the list, fine. Top 25 best Super Bowl era teams, that's cool. But you can't make them number one. You got to win it. Look, Now that I think about it, who would I throw up there at this point? I don't generally do rankings. Not a thing that interests me. So I'm not putting these things together in my head. But I do know one thing: if you don't win the title, you can't be in the list. Like USC against Texas, that whole lead up was. They even did like a historical bracket. Would this USC team beat this team? Would they beat the 0-1 Miami team? And would they beat a former USC team? They did all that stuff. Would they beat one of the 90s Nebraska team with Tommy Frazier? It was all about that USC team because they were going in some ways for like a three-peat because they won in 03 in the AP poll. They won the BCS and they're unanimous in 04 and they were going for another unanimous title in 05. So we're talking about the legendary USC team and what they could be. And you know what? No one thinks of them like that anymore because of what Vince Young and Texas did. Should be the same. Bill Barnwell, cut it out. I know you're a numbers guy, but let's have some reason involved. If you didn't raise the trophy, you can't be the best team of all time. I don't care what the numbers say. It was a competitive game. It was a close loss. But it was a loss. Even if they had won 18 other games that year and gone undefeated. Just how it works. If you want to get in on the show before we wrap it up, the number is 713-780-3776. I did want to tell you about this before I forget. We got the summer circuit going on right now. And what that is our shows go around to great Houston restaurants and give you a chance to win something. So if you show up today at McCormick and Schmick, the Town and Country location, the McCormick and Schmick location, Town and Country from 12 to 6, and fill out something at our promo table, you register to win, you have a chance to win a grand prize from the Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. It's 2 e-bikes from them. So McCormick and Schmick tomorrow from 12 to 6, go to the promo table, fill out a form, and give yourself a chance to win. And also tomorrow, John and Lance are going to be out at Texas Card House from 7 to 10. So you can join them out there. And, of course, on Friday, because we got another major championship in golf, the entire station will be out at East River 9. So got a busy couple days coming up. You can join us at any of those locations. Some of it's our summer circuit tour. Some of it's just us out and about. So please come out there and join us and have a good time. Also, remember this. We're getting closer. In fact, next Thursday, it's the start of our giveaways for the Fantasy Football League we're going to put on. It'll be myself, John, Lance, and Sean, plus you guys. You get a chance to start winning July 24th. The Fantasy Football Draft is August 28th in Lake Charles in the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Casino, Lake Charles. So if you are one of our winners, you're going to get a two-night stay at the Golden Nugget. You're going to get a $200 food and beverage credit and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook. You guys certainly have heard us do shows there quite a bit. We always enjoy our time there. They treat us right. They'll treat you right too. So if you want to get involved in this, stay locked in starting next Thursday, July 24th. We're going to be doing giveaways on air through social media through August 14th. So if you can be there for the draft, that's the most important part. Try to win because it should be a good time. All right, Gary, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. We got one more segment here to go. Gary, and you, if you want, when we get back.
92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
And that Bill Barnwell list is the best 25 teams in the last 25 years. He does have the Patriots at one. Goes into the numbers of how dominant they were over the season and so on and so forth, but you've heard this show's response. Win the title. And then I wouldn't have any issue with where you put them. But they didn't win, so they're not number one. Let's get to Gary. What's up, Gary?
Hey guys, the Florida Marlins won with the World Series 2 years. They beat Cleveland, and then they beat the Yankees. But nobody considered them one of the greatest teams. They have not. They didn't even win a title. Not their title. They didn't even win their division. And so in baseball, I think it depends on the sport too. In baseball, they just showed that if you get hot, you can win it all. And then with New England, statistically speaking, that year they lost to the Giants. Statistically speaking, they were the most dominant. It took a Hail Mary, Tyreek, whatever that guy's catch over the helmet to beat them. So flukes like that can happen. But as far as Florida Marlins, when they won, and they didn't even win their division, they've not even won a division title. They got hot and limped into the playoffs and beat one of the hottest teams around at that time. Who was better, Cleveland? And then they beat New York. And both of those teams were more dominant than the Florida Marlins. So it can happen. Statistically speaking, New England was the better team that year against the Giants, but the helmet catch propelled the Giants.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah, the rundown of how that worked out, I remember clearly. I also remember they couldn't protect Tom Brady from that front four. So, wow, yes, the helmet catch happened after they finally got a touchdown with at least took the lead with Randy Moss and Tom Brady. The reason that was even a game is because they couldn't block the Giants. So I will agree. The Patriots numbers tell you great football team throughout the course of the season. But even if you look in the playoffs, that was back about when you only had to when the 1 and 2 seeds had a week off. Not like now, we only have the 1 seed with a week off. They didn't look great against the Patriots. The Chargers in that playoffs. I think Brady threw like 3 picks in a game. They had a couple games where they almost lost. So, but 18-0 at the time is 18-0. So you can't get after them too much if they have some close victories when they go 18-0 to start their start their run. But it wasn't simply the miracle catch. The Giants in the game were the better team, not over the course of the season, but in that game the Giants are better. And you hold the Patriots to, at the time, 14 points, and then you come back and win, and it took a miracle to make the catch, but that wasn't the end of the game. They still went down and scored a touchdown, right? That happened. Plexico Burris fade into the end zone to win the game. So, understood. David Tyree made a great play, but the Patriots had every opportunity to keep the Giants out of the end zone and couldn't do it. And that's why they didn't win that one. But yeah, the baseball, I would agree. That's the one where if you got a couple starting pitchers, you can ride that wave to a title. Hockey in some ways is that way too. Hot goalie has always been something they talk about. If your goalie will stand on his head over the course of a playoff run, you can make your way into the Stanley Cup Finals and eventually win it. But I don't know if outside the Giants, I guess, who else has gotten hot? Did Baltimore, will we classify that 2012 Baltimore team with Joe Flacco as a team who got hot to win it? I think over the course of, well, at this point, depending if you have a bye or not, you're either playing like 20 games to make a Super Bowl or maybe 19 if you to get to the Super Bowl at least, 17-game schedule. And then a couple games if you're the one seed to get to that Super Bowl. If you win 20 games, or at least you go through 20 games to make a Super Bowl and win it, I think we can give you credit for being the best team and not just getting hot. But I do think it's funny that Eli Manning, of all people, is the one to maybe chop at that theory, because he of all people is one that rode the wave of playoff runs to make, let's just say, average regular seasons disappear on his way to a couple Super Bowls. So I won't question that the Patriots were the favorite in both and were the better team in both, but they did not play as a better team in those two giant Super Bowl wins, and particularly the one where they could have gone undefeated. So I'm still standing on win the damn thing, and then if you make a list, you can put them at number one. You could have found someone else to do that, to put at number one, because they actually closed the deal. As I said, the example, the Warriors, maybe the Bill Barnwell version of in the NBA will make the Warriors the best team in the last 25 years, because it excludes the Jordan teams since those teams stopped in like 98. But ain't no one going to take it seriously. Like, if you put that Warriors team as the best team of all time, even though they didn't win, would we take that Warriors team over the Kevin Durant Warriors teams? even though they didn't win 73 games in the regular season, considering how dominant those Kevin Durant teams were in the postseason. I'm not taking that Warriors team over them. So, and the Warriors were great. That's how you get to 73-9. You just can't take into account Draymond kicking LeBron where he kicked him. Those things you can't take into account. You got volatile variables. Draymond was one of them, and it cost them a chance at being the best team of all time. See, I almost wish it would have happened just to see how the Jordan stands would have had to deal with it, because there are enough people rooting against the Warriors to not do it because they only wanted the Jordan team to have 70 plus wins and go win a title. Missed opportunity. Draymond couldn't keep his foot to himself, and here we are. Maybe, and if LeBron was a half step slower, maybe that Iguodala layup goes in. All things to consider when we talk about historic teams and where they would rank. But that'll be the end of this show. We'll be back tomorrow for the first time in a bit. John and Lance are going to be on their own engineering. I'll be back here because we just got people on vacation, so it's a lot easier if I'm back here to produce their show and also do my show from here. So John and Lance at Texas Card House tomorrow. You can go out there and meet them. And just meet them. I'll be back here. And we'll keep moving after that. So, since we're done for the day, AJ, what does that mean?
You can't program a dog.
It's true. Just think about it. You really can't. Thanks to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on the pivot for that. We're done for the day. Paul Gallant's up next. He's followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow.